Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, HaMekabel Sod Mechaveroi Lezoroi Soirim. If somebody leased a field from someone else with the intention, with the agreement that he's going to plant in it barley, Yizrei Nechitim, he should not plant in it wheat, because wheat depletes the soil more than barley does. Rashi explains that our Mishnah is referring to a chakira situation, to a leasing situation, where there, if the landlord and the tenant made up that he's going to plant one type of crop, he may not plant a different type of crop. However, according to Rashi, in a rhesus situation, in a sharecropping situation, this would be permissible. It would be permissible to change. However, many Rishonim disagree, and they in fact take the opinion that a rhesus, also the sharecropper, may not change from what was agreed upon with the owner of the field. And in fact, some Rishonim want to suggest that by a chakiris, as we're learning, by a leasing situation, as we're about to learn, chitim yizrenu soirim. If they agree to plant wheat, he may plant barley, because barley doesn't deplete the karka as much as wheat does. They want to suggest that that's only by a rhesus situation, only by chakira situation. By a rhesus situation, you have to follow exactly what was agreed upon. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, however, oyser. He says he's not going to make any change. Similarly, Tvua, if they agreed that he would plant grain, lo yuzren and kidneys, he's not allowed to plant beans, because beans deplete the ground more than grain. Kidneys, yuzren and tfuah, and however, if they agree that he would plant beans, they may plant grain, because grain is less harmful than beans. Rav Shimon Gamliel again says, you're not allowed to deviate. Why the Mishnah had to speak about two separate situations, two separate cases, even though it's exactly the same din and same machlokes? So one pshat that I saw is because the difference, or the harm that the property is hurt, the difference between chitim and se'orim are not as significant as the difference between kidneys and tvua. So that's why we had to mention two cases. Another point that they make is that exactly what we said a little earlier, that the Mishnah speaks about two cases to teach us that the dinim of our Mishnah did not only apply by a leasing situation, they even apply by an arisa situation also. Amar Rav Chisda, my time is Rav Shimon Gamliel, why may you not deviate? Says the Gemara, the Ksiv, because the Pasuk says in Tzfanya, Sheresh Yisrael Yasu Avla V'lo Yida B'Kozov V'lo Yimotze B'Fiyem Loshen Tarmis. It's crucial that we be honest, and therefore, if there was an agreement for one type of field, one type of crop, they may not change. Ask the Gemara Meisvei, the Brisa says, Magvis Purim L'Purim. The money collected for Purim, for the poor people to have for Purim Suda, has to be used specifically for that purpose. But we're not that we don't investigate. As we explained when we learned this Brisa on Daf Ayin Ches, that if there's leftover money, that leftover money can be used for other purposes. Another pshat that we saw is Eimed Daidik and Bedover, is that on Purim we call our Poish Yad Noisun Loin. Whoever comes to ask for funds, we give him, and we don't begin to investigate if he really is deserving on them. Veina Oni Rishoy Likich Bem Ritzula Sanloi. A poor person may not use this money even to buy a shoelace. Elm can hiss them a mamanan shear, unless so was stipulated by the gaboyim of the city. Divir of Yaakov Shem Shem Rameya. That's Rameya's opinion. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel Mekel. Rav Shimon Gamliel is more lenient, and he allows us to deviate. Again, the Mefarshim say that even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that one may deviate, it's not that he's allowed to make a significant change, but a minor change he's allowed to do. So here we have a stira, and our Mishnah says that the tenant is not allowed to deviate. And here it says that he may. Amar Abaya, Tamid Rav Shimon Kedemar. We rather have to explain Rav Shimon's opinion according to what Rabbi Bar Nachmani said. Not that the issue of our Mishnah is an issue of deviation, rather what Rabbi Bar Nachmani said, Doma Mar, Haiman de Nichalei de Titbe Ari, if somebody wants to make his land barren, Lizra Shata Chiti Vishata Sa'iri. One year he should plant it wheat, and one year he should plant it barley. By changing the crops of the field, one weakens the field. Or if one year he plants shasi but in the length, and one year shata erev, and the next year in the width, again, that hurts the ground. And therefore, as Rashi explains the Gemara, the owner of the field knows exactly what this field has and hasn't been used for, and who's renting the field to follow the instructions of the owner, who knows what the field needs and doesn't need. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos learns the Gemara differently. Tosfos explains that they used to be careful to rotate the crops of the field. They were very careful to rotate the crops of the field to make sure that the field should not have the same crop every year, because the same crop every year impoverishes the field. Now, therefore, the owner of the field is well aware of what was going on with this field, and therefore you should follow his instructions, because he knows the order of this rotation. However, says the Gemara, V'loy Amorin, this that we said that you have to be careful to follow, and according to Rashi's Pshat, to use the same, we're going to learn with Rashi's Pshat, that every year to use the same thing from the field, is only in a situation like Kara Vitani, that he didn't plow twice. Aval, Kara Vitani, if he's careful to plow twice, less lumbo, there is no problem. There's a machloikus rishonim, what does it mean that he has to plow twice? Some rishonim suggest what it means that he has to plow twice, means on the same day that he's plowing, he should plow twice. Another pshat that I saw is that not on the same day should he plow twice, but rather what it comes to mean is that he should plow once after he harvests the field, and another time before he's about to replant the field, he should plow again. Says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tvur lo yizrena kitnis. If they agreed to plant grain, he shouldn't plant beans. Masten le Rabbi Yehuda le Ravin. Tvur, if he leased it to plant grain, Yizrena kitnis. He may plant beans. Amalei, so Ravin asked him, V'anantanan, didn't we just learn the Mishnah, Tvur lo yizrena kitnis, that if he leased it for grain, he's not allowed to use it for beans? Amalei, like Kasha. Halahan v'alahu. There's a difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. One pshat is that in Bavel, the ground is more fertile, and therefore the ground could take you planting in it beans instead of grain, even though, as we learned in the Mishnah, beans are tougher on the ground than grain. It doesn't really make a difference. The land of Bavel is fertile and it could take it, whereas the land of Eretz Yisrael isn't strong enough to take it. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that Bavel is in a valley, and since Bavel is in a valley, it has an accumulation of water. Beans, when they grow, suck up a lot of water, And since they suck up a lot of water, therefore, Bavel could take that. On the contrary, it's good that the excess water should be drained. Whereas Eretz Yisrael, which is a more of a mountain type of a region, can't take that type of, doesn't have enough water to lose, and therefore you shouldn't plant beans that drain a lot of water. The nafgamina between these two pshatim is, will the same halacha apply by any deviation? If we say it's because beans are good for bavel, because it sucks up the excess water, so then that's a halacha specifically regarding beans, but not any other deviation. But if, on the other hand, we're going to explain that just bavel is a more fertile area, and because it's a more fertile area, it could take changes, then it doesn't make a difference if you're changing it to beans or to anything else. Bavel could take, could exist with that kind of a change. Amalei Rabbi Huda l'Ravin bar Rav Nachman. Ravin Ochi, he said to Ravin, my brother, Hani tachle de bekisna, this cress, it's a type of a herb that grows amongst the flax, ein be mishum gezel. There is no problem of gezel if somebody takes him. For as Mefarshim explained, since they are detrimental to the flax, the owners are certainly mafka them. Or as other Mefarshim explained, because they're detrimental to the flax, we have here a situation of hefker bezdin hefker, and certainly they can be taken. As the Mefarshim, we know that when Yeshua divided up Eretz Yisrael, one of the conditions he made was that anybody could pick grass from any property in Eretz Yisrael. So why do we need a special rule that somebody could collect the shechlayim? Isn't that included in Yeshua's rule? So Mefarshim explained that Yeshua's rule was only set to something which is a machal behema, something which animals eat. But this shechlayim is actually something that people can eat. And the rule that Yeshua made wasn't said to something which is a machal adam. But if the shechlayim is by the border, yesh mishum gezel, then one can't take it. Because there's no reason that cress doesn't adversely affect the flax, and therefore the owner of the property wants it for himself. Vim hukshlazera. Furthermore, if they already got hard, then a field by kitni nami, even the ones that grow amongst the flax, yesh mishum gezel. There's a problem with gezel. My tama, what's the reason? My da afsid afsid. Whatever damage they did already, it's already done, and therefore the owner says, I might as well keep it for myself. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda l'Ravin bar Rav Nachman, says the Gemara. Ravin Achi, Ravin my brother, Hani deli deloch, v'deloch deli. The fruit of some of the trees that are hanging in my field really belong to you, and vice versa, some of the fruit that's hanging in your field belongs to me. For as Rashi explains, they had trees, their fields bordered each other, and there were trees whose roots were in one field, but the fruit hung in another field, and the ownership of the fruit depends on where the roots, where the nourishment of that tree comes from. And since the nourishment of some of the fruits that are hanging in my property come from your tree, those fruits really belong to you, and the same vice versa. Nog by matzra, however, it is the minig, it is the custom of people who share a boundary, that oila hanoita lakan or lakan, the fruits whose roots are turned to one side as belonging to that side, vanoita lakan lakan, we follow the roots, the tree, the fruits, as we just said, belong to the person who owns the root. Ditmar, as we learned in a braisa, ilan ha'omer al ha'meitzar, if there's a tree that's standing near the boundary, that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Taisus has a different interpretation of this Gemara, and Taisus says that our Gemara is referring to a situation of a tree growing exactly on the border. But again, we're going to learn with Rashi's pshat. Ilan ha'imra ha'meitza, amarav hanoita lakan lakan. If the roots are on one side, the fruits emanating from those roots belong to the owner of the person where the roots are. Vanoita lakan lakan. Shmuel, however, Shmuel's opinion, however, is cholkim, they should divide the fruits. Meisvei asked the Gemara on the opinion of Rav. It says in a Braisa, Ilon ha'oimen ala meitzer yachloiku, clearly supporting Shmuel's psak to yufta the Rav. Isn't this a question, a refutation on Rav? Says the Gemara, Tergma Shmuel aliv the Rav. Shmuel, in defending Rav's opinion, said, Memala kala etzakula. Our Gemara, that Braisa is referring where a situation where the trees take up the entire boundary and the roots grow in both fields. And since the roots grow in both fields, that's why they should divide it. Because they're both together owning the field. Ask the Gemara in Hachi if it's referring to a situation that both partners share in the roots, and that's why they shear in the fruits, Maila Mamra. Isn't that obvious? Answers the Gemara. Letzricha de Tali Tuna Lachad Gisa. Even though they shear in the area of the roots, all of the fruits are on one side. And therefore we would think, since all of the fruits are on one side, those fruits, the person where the fruits are hanging, should be the owner of the fruit. Teaches us the Braisa that since they shear in the roots, they shear in the fruits. Ask the Gemara, but isn't that obvious? The katil ma'il memra, as we have been saying, the fruit grow from the root. And if the roots are shared, then obviously the fruits ought to be shared. Answers the Gemara, ma'adatayma, damalei palikacha, that perhaps the person on whose side the fruits are hanging should say, yes, we're going to divide the fruits. The way we should divide the fruits is along the line of the border. And everything that's on my side of the border should be mine. And everything that's on your side of the border should be yours. Kamash Malan, that's what the Bryce is teaching us, the Amalei, that the other partner could say to him, my chazot the palos hachi, why should we divide it this way, and which will end up with you having most of the fruits? Like hachi, let's divide it perpendicularly, and therefore I will also be able to get an equal share of the fruits. Amle Rav Yehuda leRavin beRav Nachman. Ravin achi, Ravin, my brother, leTizben ara deSpicha leMasa. Don't buy property where you're going to grow crops near the city. Dom Rav Avu, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Oslol Adam Shiam Nosteich Averoi. A person's not allowed to stand next to somebody's field, b'shash I met this become a cell, and at the time when it's completely grown, because looking at that could cause an ayin hara, which could cause damage to that person's field. As the Chazon Ish explains, the power of an ayin hara is that an ayin hara is a power that a person has uncontrolled by the person, that even if the person doesn't have any intent to do anything bad, still, Dain Hara can have a detrimental effect. And the Mechtav Eliyahu explains why. He explains, we know there's a klal, the Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh L'Zeh. Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh L'Zeh, says the Mechtav Eliyahu, means that we're all connected. And therefore, since we're all connected, if one of us is dissatisfied with what the other person has, so since that other person is connected to, we're each connected to each other, and therefore, if there is a lack here of satisfaction by all of the owners, we're all connected to each other, and that's why an ayin hara is so detrimental. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is this so, that one is not allowed to have property near the city, v'shkechina Rab Abel Talmid de Rav. Rab Abba met the Talmid in the Rav, Amalhu. My Amar Rabba Hani Kroy. How does Rav interpret the following psukim? Baruch Atah Be'ir, or Baruch Atah B'Sada, Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, or Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. As Mefarshim explained, why does the Pasuk speak, single out by echot seyasecha, from everything that we do. Another way, that's the way that Mizrahi explains the Gemara's question. The other, the Maral says, what was bothering him was, why did the Torah speak so bariches? We know the Torah is usually much more succinct. The Mashal says that the Pasuk already says there, Yitzav Hashem Itcho, as Habrocho, Basamecho, or Becham Mishlach Yodecho. So isn't that already all inclusive of all the brachas? Why does the Pasuk have to single out these brachas? Says the Gemara, to teach us, your home should be near the shul. And the Mefarshim explained, because if your home will be near the shul, you will be able to be one of the Asaru Rishonim, one of the first 10 people in shul. Another pshat, as we know, in those times the shul, the Beis HaKnesses, were typically outside of the city, and therefore they had to go to the shul only later when it was already light, and come back from shul when it was already still light before it got too dark, so they couldn't spend that much time in the Beis HaKnesses. But if one's home is near the Beis HaKnesses, then he could spend more time in the Beis HaKnesses because he doesn't have to worry about walking in the dark. Another pshat that I saw, beautiful pshat, is that we know that typically when a person goes to shul in Beis HaKnesses, a person acts in a proper way. Baruch Ata Shebeischa Samach Beis HaKnesses, that a person should act at home just like he acts in the Beis HaKnesses. That a person is Baruch. Baruch Ata Besada Sheinachasecha Kroiv Meir. So here we see that there is a specific issue that your property should be near the city. Again, being because you shouldn't have to spend a lot of time traveling. Baruch Ata B'Vayecha Shlei Timtza Ishtecha Sofek Nida B'Shah B'Yoschem Adarech. When you return home, your wife should not be a Sofek Nida, and then you won't be able to have relations with her. So the Rishonim say that just like the Gemara, many Rishonim explain that just like the Gemara is saying that you shouldn't find your wife a Sofek Nida when you come home, certainly you shouldn't find your wife a full-fledged Nida. However, I saw other Mefarshim explain differently. They say that a Sofek Nida is worse than a Vaday Nida. Because if one's wife is a Vaday Nida, we know that we can't have relations with our wives when they're Nidais. But when she's a Sofek Nida, the person is torn. Could he, can't he, and he also is more likely, chas v'shalom, to come to do an avera of having relations with his wife, and therefore Sofek Nida is worse than a Vade Nida. Along the same lines, I saw that the Ben Yoyada explains. He says that a woman is a Nida is part of the life cycle of a woman, that she has a period, and therefore it's nothing to be upset about. But a Sofek Nida is not something which is part of her life cycle, and that's why it's more disturbing. Baruch Ata B'Tzeisecha She'etzatzor Me'echa K'moyzcha. The biggest bracha we can have is that we should have fine children. As the Mefarshim explained, because a person who has good children is lucky in this world. People say, look how wonderful this person has, wonderful children. And when he leaves the world, by leaving the world with good children, he leaves a purpose in this world. Mefarshim asks, if we just said that having children, good children, is the most important part of life, so why is this bracha mentioned last? So he explains, because we just mentioned all sorts of other brachas, that the person will be successful, etc. So we want that those brachas should not only come to us, but with mispalel, that those brachas should also come to our children. Vamluhu, and Rav Abba said to his Talmidim, Rav Yochanan lo yamahachi. Rav Yochanan disagreed with this interpretation. Elo, baruch ato bi'ir, she'besek hisei samach l'shulchanecha. Person, again, in those days, bathrooms weren't in the homes. The person should have the Beis HaKisei close by. He shouldn't have to be matriach himself to go to the Beis HaKisei. a Beis HaKnesses, it's not worthwhile should be near your home. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, Dom Eschap Siyas Yesh. The Gemara says in Masech the Saita, that Rabbi Yochanan met an elderly widow who was davening in a shul, and he asked, why did you come to my shul? Aren't there shuls close to your home? And she's told him, Damar Schap Siyas Yesh, I get Schar Halicha. Although the Mefarshim point out that when we speak about Schar Halicha, it's not set to Talmid Chachamim, because Talmid Chachamim, who every moment that they're in shul could daven and learn, should certainly daven in the shul that's closest to their home, where they could then spend less time traveling to shul and more time actually in shul. Furthermore, I saw from the Shalos HaTshuvos Marshag that he says that if there's a purpose in davening in a specific shul, there's a rav that you want to have connection with, there's a fine community, fine congregation, then there is no issue of Schap Sias, even if that's the shul that's closest to your home. The Farshim asks, why is there no concern of Ema Vir Malamitzvahs? That if somebody walks by a shul to go to a further shul to get the Schar Halicha that our Gemara just spoke about, isn't he being Maver Alamitzvahs walking past the shul? Furthermore, the Maral says that even though our Gemara speaks about Schar Halicha, he says, is only when walking to shul. But there is no issue, he says, of Schar Halicha that one should walk, for example, to a sukkah that's further from his home. And we could explain both of these concepts with one explanation. The issue is that walking to shul in itself is a mitzvah. Going to a shul, the act of going to be close to Hashem, is in itself a mitzvah. Therefore, we could understand why there's no issue of mavir mala mitzvahs, because the act of walking is a mitzvah, and therefore there's no problem of mavir mala mitzvahs. Whereas going to a sukkah is not a mitzvah, sitting in the sukkah during Yom Tov Sukkos is a mitzvah. And therefore, strictly when it comes to walking to the Beis HaKnesses, is there an issue of Schar Halicha, not when it comes to walking to a sukkah. Baruch Ata B'Sada, She'enu Chasecha M'Shaloshim. Your property should divide it in three. Shlish B'Tfuah, a third in grain. Shlish B'Zeisim, a third in olives. And Shlish B'Kufanim, a third in grapes. Mefarshim explain why specifically these three things. Mefarshim explain, because the Pchiv of giving Maisa Midaraisa only applies to these three types of crops. As the Pasuk says, Degoncha, Tiroishcha, V'Yitzarecha. And we know that the rule is Aser B'Shvil Shittas Aser. So the Pasuk is teaching us that we should have these three types of crops, and then we'll give Maisa that we're mechuyif to give Midaraisa, and by giving that Maisa that we're obligated to give Midaraisa, B'Shvil Shittas Aser, we will be Zoicha to wealth. Another pshat that I saw is that these three specific crops have special rules as far as Hilchus Brachas are concerned. We know that grain, really, one should make a Bar Pri Adama. And the fact if one eats chewable grain, the Brachas Bar Pri Adama. But if he turns the grain into bread, he makes a Hamaitzi Lechem and Aretz. Grapes are a Bar Pri Aetz. But if he turns the grapes into wine, he makes a Bar Pri Agofin. Olives, even though all fruits, when you squeeze them, the bracha becomes shakel. If you squeeze oranges, on orange juice you make a shakel. On apples you make on apple juice you make a shakel. Olives, on olive oil you make a bar prio eitz. So since they have a special category as far as hilchos brachas are concerned, so too, that's the crops that you should invest in. Baruch atah v'yecha, baruch atah b'tzisecha. And the Mefarshim explained that the Gemara's focus is, why do we speak about the Bayecha before the Tzeisecha? She yitziyoschem an oilam ki biyoschel oilam. You should leave the world like you came to the world. Ma biyoschel oilam b'leichet. A person enters the world without any averis. Af yitziyoschem an oilam b'leichet. And as the Ksav Sofer explains, the Gemara says, Noach Laila Adam Shloi Nivra Mishanivra. It would have been preferable that a person should not be born. Why? Vachashanivra Yivashvish Vimasiv. Why is it better that the person should not have been born? Because a person is karv lehefsed v'roch l'schar. It's more likely that a person is going to do averis than mitzvahs. Says the pasuk, says the ksav sofer, baruch atah b'tzeisecha. If a person leaves the world without doing averis, then that is the individual that it was worthwhile that that individual should be born. Baruch atah b'tzeisecha. If you leave the world without averis, then baruch atah b'vayecha, your coming to the world was worthwhile. But here we see that it is worthwhile to have your property near the city. And we said that one shouldn't have the property near the city. Answers the Gemara Loikasha. Hadamapalei shuriviriska. If there's walls around the property, then it's good to have your property near the city that you don't have to travel to it. Ha. The loy mahadalei shuriviriska. But if there isn't wall around it, and there's a concern of ayin hara, then it's better to have the property further away where he will not be affected by the ayin hara. Says the Gemara, "Vehese Hashem cha kol chayli amarav zu ayin." That when the pasuk speaks about that, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take from us away all the all types of illness. What illness is being referred to here specifically? Ayin hara. And as the Mefarshim explained, for Heser, who has the ability to overcome Dayan Hara, specifically HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Rav Tameh, Rav is following his opinion that's so concerned about Ayin Hara, to Rav Solok Lebei Kivri. Rav went to the cemetery, Ovid my David, he did whatever he did that he should be able to determine what was the reason that the people buried in the cemetery died, and he said, Tishin v'tishin b'ayin hara, 99% of the people died because of ayin hara, v'echad b'derech eretz, and only one died because of the normal way of the world. So I saw from the Pnei Menachem, he says, if we see here how terrible an ayin hara is, says the Pnei Menachem, we know that meruba mida toiva mida pranius. Good is better than worse. So if an ayin hara is so terrible, how great is an ayin toiva? Another pshat that I saw, ayin hara doesn't specifically mean when somebody else looks at you and somebody else is jealous of you, that could cause an ayin hara. Sometimes an ayin hara can mean you yourself could bring to yourself an ayin hara. A person, by not being satisfied with what he has, brings upon himself an ayin hara. A person, by not being satisfied with what he has, brings himself an ayin hara, that stress, tatzileini ma'ayin hara, means that I should be happy with what I have. Shmuel, on the other hand, says that what is the thing that causes all illness? Zuaruach, the wind. Because Shmuel tamei, dam Shmuel, hakol beruach. All sicknesses come because of the wind. The people that are killed by the government, which was only all too common in those days, certainly those people weren't killed by the wind. Answers the Gemara, Hanech Nami, those individuals also, Elav Zika, if not for the wind that blows on the wound, Avalei Sam V'chaya, he could have had a refuah, there would be a medicine that could perhaps heal him. Rav Chanina Amar, Rav Chanina says, Zutzina. The pasuk says, "V'heis Hashem mekol chayli." What does the pasuk refer to? It refers to the cold. Damar Rav Chanina, Hakol b'day Shemayim. Everything is in the hands of Hashem. Chutz mitzinim pachim. Besides cold. Some say pachim is a cold draft. Others say pachim means the heat. Shnema tzinim pachim b'derech ikesh. A smart person avoids being in the cold. There's a machloikus with shaynim. If cold is completely in the hands of us to control, or if it's partially in our hands, or in the, and also in the hands of Hashem. actually, according to the Rishonim that say that it's completely in our hands to control, just not by putting on a coat and avoiding being in a cold place, so what is pshat that our Gemara says, V'heisa Hashem ka machla, that Kadosh Baruch will take away this machla? Well, how will Kadosh Baruch will take away the machla if it's completely in our hands to control? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the seichel, will give us the intelligence to know that it's a cold day and we should avoid being in a place where we could catch a cold. Another pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the panasa, that we should be able to buy the right type of clothing to avoid getting sick. Another pshat is sometimes it gets cold suddenly. You walk out of the house and it's a nice day and you don't wear a coat. And then all of a sudden it gets cold and you're left susceptible because you're not wearing a coat. V'eis Hashem kam chayli, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will avoid that happening to us, and He will create a situation where it's where we're not all of a sudden open to the cold. The Mepharshim point out that here our Gemara says, Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mitzinim apachim. There is another famous Gemara, Demir Yosef, and other Mepharshim point out, that says, Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz miyirushamayim. So he connects these two Gemaras. He says, there are two types of attitudes that prevent somebody from, in as avodas Hashem. One is tzinim, cold. A person is cold, he doesn't have the proper geschmack towards learning Torah, towards doing mitzvahs. And then there's heat, that the person gets caught up in a taiva, gets caught up in the averis, and that prevents him from serving Hashem properly. Hakol b'dei shemayim, everything is in the hands of Hashem, chutz miyirushamayim. And what is the detriment, what prevents a person from having and acting properly with Yerushamayim? Tzinim apachim, this coldness and this overheat. Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina amar zotzoya. When the pasuk speaks about v'heis Hashem imcha kol chayli, it means bodily secretions. Dama mar tzoyas achoytem v'tzoyas ha'ozem, secretions from the nose and secretions from the ear. Rubam, if one has too much of them, kosher, it's detrimental to the person. Mi'utan, but not too much, is yafa. Rabbi Lazar Omer, zumara. When we speak about zuchayli, it refers to not having gallbladder disease. Tanya nami hachi, machla. When the Torah speaks about machla, zumara, v'lam nikrishma machla, shemachala kagufa shel adam. A diseased gallbladder brings disease to the person's diet person. Davacha machla, sheshmaina v'shloish shechaloyim tluim b'mara. 83 diseases, that's the gematria of the word machla, come from the gallbladder. V'kulon, pas shachas v'melach, if a person is careful to eat breakfast, bread with salt, v'kit and shalmayim, and drink water, mevatlason, they take away the disease. So Mepharshim explained that the pas shachris that our Gemara is referring to, we actually don't have, because it's talking about a specific type of grain that grows in a specific type of place, that's cut in a specific type of way, which we actually don't have. However, the Rosh says, based on this Gemara, the question comes up, if one drinks water in a meal, is it considered part of the meal? Says the Rosh, that by our Gemara describing what Pas Shachris is, and saying that Pas Shachris includes drinking water, we see that water is an integral part of the meal, and one should make a separate brach on it. The Yaris Tavash says that the point of this Gemara is that what does Pas Shachris accomplish? What Pas Shachris accomplishes is that a person should, if we look at the meal that the Gemara is describing, it's a very meager meal, bread, water, and salt. If a person, says the Yaris Tavash, is careful not to overindulge, that is going to be the best way to avoid disease. Another pshat that I saw is that pas is begematria Talmud. We can't eat pas shachris. What should we do? We should learn Talmud. We should learn Gemara every morning. And by learning every morning, that is, will help us avoid disease. Tarabon. Shloish asa dvaram nemer pas shachris. The 13 things said about eating pas shachris. Matzalos menacham menetzina. It saves a person from heat and cold. Umenazikim menazikim from winds and from shadim. Umachkimas pesi. It makes a foolish person wise. Vezoich bedin. It makes this person successful in litigation. Lumatayru lamed. It helps them learn. Udvarav nishmoim. It helps that what he says should be heard. The Talmud is kind of biyadoi. He should remember what he learns. Vein besari malahevel. It causes that he shouldn't overly, excessively sweat. Meniska leishtoi. When he has relations with his wife, vein masavli shacheres. He doesn't desire a different woman. V'hayre kinish b'nei ma'ayim. It kills the worms in one's intestines. V'yesh aymer af ma'achnas ma'itzis akina. It causes that a person should not be jealous. Or ma'achnas as a hava. It causes a person should be happy. Amale rava la rava ba'meri. Menoha milsa da amri inchi. Sheetin rohitin roit. 60 people could run after an individual. V'lemata legavra. The mitzafra karach, and they can't catch up with a person who ate breakfast. Vam rabbanan, hashkan va'achoyl, get up in the morning and eat. Bekayitz of neichama, in the summer that you shouldn't be adversely affected by the heat. Or bechayrif, and in the winter with nei hatzina, that you shouldn't be affected by the cold. Eating breakfast brings all of these wonderful effects. Amalei. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Lo yiravu v'lo yitzmo, they won't be hungry or thirsty. V'lo yakim sherish v'shemesh, they won't be affected by the heat. Lo yakim sherish v'shemesh, you know why the heat won't be able to affect them? Kivin the lo yiravu v'lo yitzmo, since they were careful to eat breakfast. Amalei, at amritli mahasam, you bring a ride from that Pasuk, v'na amina la mahocha. I bring a raya from this pasuk, because the pasuk says, "Vavaretem es Hashem alakechem, uvarach es lachmucha v'smeimecha." Vavaretem es Hashem alakechem, zukri shma v'tfila, uvarach es lachmucha v'smeimecha, zu pas b'melech v'kit nishlamayim. A person should eat the breakfast after he davens. V'kam ve'elech v'asiloisim mekachlam mekirbecha. So the Meiri says that what we learn from this Gemara is that even though it's important for a person to do krishma the tefillah, it should never be at the expense of eating. A person has to be careful to properly eat. The Mashal points out, Vavadetem es Hashem alakechem, the pasuk begins with Lashon Rabbim. Vavadetem es Hashem alakechem is Lashon Rabbim. Uberech es lachmecha is Lashon Yochid. So he says, Vavadetem es Hashem alakechem is done the Rabbim. Uberech es lachmecha, that the rabbim, everybody has to daven. That a person, as we said before, in the name of the Yaros Tavash, is careful only to eat the minimum bread and water, that you'll only find by Yechidim. Most people don't do that. Says the Gemara. Amalei Rav Yehuda Rav Adam Mishcha. Rav Yehuda said to Rav Adam Mishcha, he was the one that was a surveyor. Don't treat your job lightly. The kaporta reporta, every inch of land, chaza lekerma reshka. You could plant on it saffron, which was a very expensive species, and you could use every inch of land for planting on it. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda l'Rav Ada Mishcha. Abba Angest and Gira Zilzbahu. The four amos on the side of the irrigation canal where people would leave them open, and I saw two pshatim. Why? One pshat is because that's where people stood so they should be able to get water from the canal. Another pshat is because they didn't want the walls of the canal to collapse. Those, when you measure those four amos, zazbahu, you could treat them more lightly. Why? Then Hara, but on the other hand, then Hara, where we're talking about the four sides of the river itself, there, Lotim Shechena Klal, you shouldn't measure them at all. You could just leave a strip of land, that's good enough. Rav Yehuda Tameh, Rav Yehuda Amar, the Amar Rav Yehuda, Abba Angus de Nigra, the four Amas near the irrigation canal, Lebnei a Nigra. It's only harmful to people who use the irrigation canal. The Nahara, the Kula Alma, and therefore you have to be more careful by the river than by the irrigation canal. Makras Ra'avmi, Mole Kasve Nagdi, a strip, the width of the person's shoulders who carries packages, betray Avda Nahara on the two sides of the river, Kaitsu, should be cleared of trees, so they should be able to walk there or be able to carry their barges and not be interfered by the trees. Rav Nachman Bar Oshia cuts Shitsa Amma. He allowed 16 Ammas along the river to be cut of the trees. Osale B'nei Mishrena Defnua. The people who owned that forest struck him for cutting down so much of their trees. Husava B'Shus Rabim. Rav Nosson held that this has the same halacha as the Rishus HaRabim, and the halacha and the Rishus HaRabim we know is 16 amos wide, and that's why he felt that 16 amos should be left clear. V'lohi Hasam by Rishus HaRabim being in Kulahai, we need an area of 16 amos. Hacha Mishmum Amtuchi Ashlunhu. However, here we only need the space for people who are pulling up their ropes. And Mimali Kasvi Nagdi Sagi, that's enough. You don't have to leave such a wide area of 16 amos.